Hello, I'm Andrew Tuck, and you're listening to Tall Stories on Monocle 24, brought to you by the team behind The Urbanist, the show all about the cities we live in. In just a few minutes each week, we talk about one building, one statue, or one park bench that reveals something special about our cities. For Tall Story number 41, we head to Ellis Island. For over 60 years, this was the busiest immigration inspection station in the United States, giving over 12 million migrants the opportunity to start a new life. And now, as visas are being denied and doors closed, we've sent our very own Danny Giacopelli to tell the story of this important symbol.
What they don't tell you about Ellis Island, one of New York's most famous landmarks and the brick-and-mortar manifestation of America's immigrant experience, is that it's actually in New Jersey. Well, most of it, at least. To the chagrin of proud New Yorkers everywhere, which are all New Yorkers, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled in the late 1990s that a massive chunk of Ellis actually belongs to New York's neighbor. So go figure. Another thing you should know. Although it's only about a mile from Manhattan, getting there isn't exactly straightforward. And oddly enough, as a native New Yorker whose ancestors passed through here from southern Italy many moons ago, I made the pilgrimage for the first time only in December. It starts with a queue, a very, very long queue, in Battery Park at the southern tip of New York City. I'd rarely seen such a long line of people in my life, nor wanted to back out of a plan so quickly. But assuming you survive the crowds and the security checks and the screaming school children, you board a ferry. Stop one is Liberty Island, home of the Statue of Liberty, and 20 minutes later is stop two, Ellis.
On behalf of the National Park Service, once again, welcome aboard. Our next stop will be Ellis Island.
But it wasn't always called this. Ellis Island has had many names, many owners, and many purposes over the years. Native Americans called it Kiosk, or Gull Island. Dutch settlers called it Little Oyster. It's been called Dyer Island, Bucking Island, and Anderson's Island. Pirates called it Gibbet and used it to hang people. In the 1770s, a man named Samuel Ellis bought it. New York State soon leased it, and the federal government took control. And by the 1800s, it was Fort Gibson, hosting guns and ammunition. It stayed a military outpost for the better part of eight decades before becoming America's iconic front door. Between 1892 and the mid-1950s, almost 12 million people left their homes around the world, withstood voyages across continents and oceans, and arrived here at this 27.5-acre speck of rock in upper New York Bay, hoping to create a new life in the land of opportunity. So stepping off the ferry as a tourist in 2016 was an odd experience, if not somewhat embarrassing. With smartphone in hand and credit card in pocket, you feel silly and spoiled, and you struggle to understand the bewilderment of those who arrived here a century ago with no friends, no family, no language skills, no money, and no support. It's even more surreal upon entering the main building. Ellis is now a national park, basically functioning as a large museum of the immigrant experience. Though some parts of the island are off limits, notably a hospital that served as America's first public health facility. But the main building is the shining, fully restored attention stealer. And the real gem is on the second floor, the registry room. The surrealism comes from its emptiness, a huge grand space with gigantic arched windows, tiled ceiling, and a chandelier. You can just almost imagine it as the setting of high society balls, with tuxedos and gin martinis. And yet, on every day for the first two decades of the 20th century, thousands of tired immigrants would file in here, filling every crevice of the room with luggage and bodies, awaiting invasive medical inspections, legal checks, and eventually, either a yay or a dreaded nay. It's been said that almost half of Americans today can trace their family back to a single ancestor who passed through this harbor and arrived at this very spot, which really is something. At a time when immigration and immigrants are yet again thrust under a very public spotlight, this is a place that's designed to remind the visitor that most of us, if not all of us, come from somewhere else. It's a trip worth taking, screaming kids be damned.
You're listening to Tall Stories, a Monocle 24 production. Our thanks to Danny Giacopelli for today's episode. Remember to tune in every Thursday for the full 30-minute edition of The Urbanist. I'm Andrew Tuck. Goodbye, and thank you for listening, city lovers.